looking at that once, they did an experiment to see whether people read what they signed. They had in the bank people signing in forms, and this army officer walks in and said, "You just signed that for 3 years army service." So,
we're looking on Daf Yud Ches Amud Bey Amud Aleph, right after the Mishnah. The Mishnah has established that a Kohen Gadol could judge, and he will be judged. He'll be put on trial. So the Gemara asks the following: Kohen Gadol don pshita. Why would we entertain the possibility that a Kohen Gadol cannot judge? And the answer is, donen oso itzricha, that sometimes the Mishnah will use two phrases, one of which is superfluous, unnecessary, the other is necessary. So it doesn't, there's no justification for the need of don, but don is the flip side of donen oso. That means that he could be on trial. And why do we need that? Gemara says, hanami pshita. So before we get to the hanami pshita, let's just say simple pshat. And that is that there's a kavod that we owe to the Kohen Gadol, and there shouldn't be a zilzul in his kavod. And we might think that he doesn't have to come into Beis Din, somebody subpoenas him to court, or somebody has a claim against him. It would be below the dignity of the Kohen Gadol to show up in the Beis Din. So therefore the Mishnah tells me that he will be judged. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, Hawaii. Baruch HaChaim Mason. So if you want to take a copy here, and maybe you could fill out that form. Okay.
There was a lot of bad kohanim, right? The bad kohen gadols.
Hopefully we're talking about the good ones.
Yeah, but I'm saying like that that it seems like we're giving them immunity. And we have a bad history.
So the Mishnah establishes that the kohen gadol should be judged. So the Gemara thinks that's also pshita. Why? So let's read the Gemara. I don't know if Binyamin, you have a Gemara. Maybe we can get you an extra Gemara. See if you can get one. E lo dainin le ihu hechi dayan. The Gemara establishes the interdependency between judging others and being judged. The Mishnah already established that the Kohen Gadol could judge others. So the Gemara says that can only make sense, that can only be possible if he can be judged. Because anyone who cannot be judged cannot judge others. How do we know this? So this is based on a pasuk in Tanakh, in Sefanya Novi. And that is his koshishu v'koshu. What does that tell me? His koshishu v'koshu. In other words, you shape up others, and you'll be shaped up yourself. Omrei Shlokish, this pasuk is teaching me, kshot atzmecha v'achakach kshot acherim. That before you can judge others, you better make sure that you're on the up, that you're good. And based on this drasha, Reish Lakish derives the conclusion that a person could only judge others if he will be judged. So therefore, since the Mishnah has already told me that the Kohen Gadol judges others, it must be predicated on what?
He can be judged.
That he can be judged. So why did the Mishnah have to go ahead and tell me that not only can he judge others, but he will be judged? Once the Mishnah would have told me that he judges others, then ipso facto I automatically know that he can be judged. That's the Gemara's question.
Exceptional case.
So let's just see the Gemara, and then Alan, if you want to say your own answer to the Gemara's question, that's fine. I just want to get the Gemara down. Ela Aidi de Kaboy Lemisni, since the Mishnah wants to tell us in the Sefer that Melech lo don v'lo donen oso, Tananami Kohen Gadol done v'danin also. In other words, there's no real chiddush here in the Mishnah. There's no reason that we would have entertained that a kohen gadol could not sit on a court and judge others, and that would mean that he will be judged. But the Mishnah wants to maintain a kind of a symmetry, a kind of a contrast between kohen gadol on the one hand and melech on the other hand, as if to say that although a melech will not judge others and cannot be judged, in contrast, the Kohen Gadol, because he's on a lower level than the Melech, he can be judged. We'll force him to come into Beis Din if he's on trial, some sort of claim against him, and therefore he can judge others. Then the Gemara comes up with another possibility. V'ibayis Ema Hakam Mashmalan, this Mishnah wants to tell me that which we learned in a braisa, Kidisanya Kohen Gadol Shaharegas HaNefesh B'Mezin Nerak B'Shogei Gola. So the Mishnah wants to tell me that he, the Kohen Gadol, will be judged to the extent to which if he murders someone unintentionally, he will have to go to the Ir Miklat
and be released after Kohen Gadol dies.
Oh, that's the issue. He's not going to be released at all. And that's the Gemara's chiddush over here, that even someone who is sent to the Ir Miklat and will never be able to be free from the Ir Miklat, he's going to spend the balance of his life in the Ir Miklat, nevertheless, he's sent into the Ir Miklat. And the Gemara is going to derive this from a special post. So let's just get the structure. There are two explanations as to why the Mishnah has to mention that a Kohen Gadol judges and will be judged. One explanation is to contrast Kohen Gadol with Melech. Whereas a Melech is not judged, a Kohen Gadol is judged. The second answer is to tell me that the Kohen Gadol will be judged to spend his entire life, till the day he dies, in the Ir Miklat, an event that we have evidence that he killed someone unintentionally. Alan?
No,
but
maybe
can
a
Kohen
Gadol sorry, that jumped in.
I said maybe this is an exceptional case. It doesn't follow that law of because he can judge, therefore he can be judged.
Are you on a question whether this rule should apply?
It's 7 o'clock.
I'm not sure that I know of any exception to the rule. Do you?
No.
Otherwise, we have to ask why they're asking the question. Why they're asking the question, because.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean. The Gemara is asking, we know based on Reish Lakish that if he cannot be judged, he cannot judge others. Therefore, why did the Mishnah have to tell me that he can be judged? Because again, he cannot judge others unless he can be judged.
Right, we said,
where's Peshitta? No, in other words, he's not above the law.
Yeah, we said to Peshitta that concept, so we don't understand why does it mention it?
Correct. And the Gemara offers two answers. Either it's only mentioning Agav Urcha because of Melech, or it's teaching you that he gets sent to Golos. Why is it a Gevaldige Chiddush that he gets sent to Golos? Because he will not be able to go free. Now the nuances and differences of law in terms of a situation of someone who will not be able to go free because there is no Kohen Gadol whose death will send him free is what we want to discuss tonight.
Okay,
so that's going to be on the table for tonight.
Can a Kohen Gadol resign?
I don't know. That's not again. No, you asked me.
He's no longer able to perform his duties. He's in the Ir Miklat. He appoints his
grandfather. Oh no! In the case that he gets sent to the Ir Miklat, I don't need him to resign. He's resigned by law.
So another Kohen Gadol will take his place.
Good. That's what we're going to discuss. That's the subject of that discussion tonight. Will we replace him with another Kohen Gadol such that the death of the replacement Kohen Gadol will send him free from the
Ir Miklat? And he can recommend his grandfather. But that's
we don't believe in nepotism, you know. So what I'd like you to look at is page Reish Nun Tes. I have a bunch of photocopies here, and hopefully you have that. No, not this. The photocopies are always on that table. This is going to confuse you. So we're looking at the bottom right column. Now, the Gemara says, we will put the Kohen Gadol on trial. And that's a chiddush because it's a bit of a zilzul, a disgrace to the Kohen Gadol, that he has to stand on trial. And therefore the Mishnah had to tell me that donin osa. Then the Gemara rejects that, and the Gemara says, we know from the fact that he could judge others that therefore he can be judged. So point number one for tonight's discussion is the following. When the Gemara raises the possibility that we cannot try the Kohen Gadol, what happens if the Kohen Gadol decides on his own that he would like to show up in Beis Din and, let's say, prove himself not guilty, whatever motivates the Kohen Gadol, he wants to come into Beis Din. Again, Lamaskana, according to the final conclusion, we're going to say that he has to come into Beis Din. But the Gemara Nahavmina thinks that maybe he would be mezalzel in his covet if he came to Beis Din. Would that mean that he's exonerated and he doesn't have to come into Beis Din? Or does that mean he cannot come into Beis Din because he would be violating or disgracing the covet of the Kohen Gadol, and that we cannot allow? You remember perhaps a few weeks ago we discussed a very similar question with regard to Zaken V'Einel V'Chvodo. He finds sheep and he has to carry it, and it's below his dignity. Is he allowed to volunteer for that mitzvah? The same kind of question we're asking tonight with regard to Kohen Gadol, just that in the case of Zaken V'Einel V'Chvodo in Hashem's Veda, that's a question of Maskana. Our question is only in the Havamina. When the Gemara raises the possibility that a Kohen Gadol is not to be judged because it's below his dignity, what would be if he himself, on his own initiative, would offer to show up in Beis Din and be judged? And in order to answer that question, we're going to look at a Tosefta in the fourth Perek of Sanhedrin. And the Tosefta says that we have to treat the Kohen Gadol with respect. So for example, let's say it's the Kohen Gadol's turn to bathe in the bathhouse. And when you bathe in a bathhouse, you're naked. So the halacha is no one should go in there because no one should see the Kohen Gadol naked. Shenemar, on the top left, Va'kohen ha-gadol me'achav. What does it mean, ha-gadol me'achav? And that means that all the Kohanim have to be noeg bo gedua, and they have to treat him with awe and respect. And if the Kohanim have to treat him that way, then certainly the regular Frank and Fall citizens of Klal Yisrael have to treat him that way. V'imratza sheyirchutzu acherim imo harishus biyado. The Tosefta says that if he, the Kohen Gadol, wants to invite other people because they want to use the bathhouse at the same time, he's allowed to do so. So the Chasdei David, I'll explain to you who the Chasdei David is. His name was Azulai. He's more famously known as the Chida, Rabbi David Azulai. He wrote many, many Sfarim. He was a prolific writer. One of them is a commentary on the Tosefta. And today, no one learns the Tosefta without the Chasdei David. There was a fellow, I don't know if you heard of him, Rabbi Saul Lieberman. No? It doesn't ring a bell? Okay, so I'm not even going to tell you about him. But he wrote a massive work on the Tosefta. So the Chasdei David writes the following. Whose covet is greater? That of a Rav? Let's say, for example, you have a Rav Muvhag, a Rebbe Muvhag. He taught you most of what you know, or at least he taught you the methodology of learning how to learn Torah. So you have to give him a great deal of respect. Or a Kohen Gadol. To whom do you have on the totem pole, the hierarchy, a greater chiyuv covet? Is it vis-a-vis your Rebbe? Again, we're talking about a Rebbe Muvhag. Or the Kohen Gadol. So the Chasdei David quotes a pasuk, and the pasuk says, "Yekara hi mipninim," that Torah is more valuable even than pearls. And Chazal understand that these pearls are a symbolic reference to the Kohen Gadol. Who is greater than the Kohen Gadol? the Kavodat Torah. Now, let's analyze the following question. Supposing the Rebbe Muvhak is mochel on his kavod. Is that clear? What's the law? So the Gemara establishes in the Masechta Kedushin that Melech, that Talmud Chacham shemochel al kvodo, kvodo mochel. Says the Chasdei David Kolshken, the Kohen Gadol. Why? Because since the kavod that we owe to the Rebbe Muvhak is greater than that which we owe to the Kohen Gadol, let's call Yikara Himit Pnimim, if a Rebbe can be mochel on his kavod, how much more so the Kohen Gadol can be mochel on his kavod. So the Gvuris Yitzchak summarizes the final conclusion, the bottom line of this Chasdei David Hare, we derive from this Chasdei David, the Kohen Gadol Yachol Limchol Al Kvodo Kimo Talmud Chacham. Im Kain L'chora Hu Adin Shiachol Limchol L'mezel Kami Beidina. That even though it would be a zilzul in his kavod to show up in Beis Din, he could go because he could be mochol on his kavod. So this is how he wants to answer his original question, which he vacillated about, whether the Kohen Gadol has the right to show up in Beis Din in the Havamina. Again, keep in mind, this is all going to the Havamina. And by quoting the Chasdei David in the Tosefta, he drew the conclusion that a Kohen Gadol could be mochel on his kavod. So far, so good. Except for a Marsha. The Marsha is going to throw a monkey wrench into our whole discussion. In Yoredeya Siman Reish Mem Beis, everybody should know that Reish Mem Beis is the Siman that deals with Kvod Torah, covered for a Talmud has to have for his Rebbe. So that's where the Shulchan Aruch codifies the following halacha: Rav Muvhak Shemachal Kvodu Kvodu Machal. Yeah? Alan, are you with me? You look a little pensive over there. I don't know, not sure if you're thinking about something else. Or, okay. So you know that in the Shulchan Aruch we have the Ramah. The Ramah adds his comments, and the Ramah says the asur levazoso. But you're not allowed to do anything that would disgrace your Rebbe Muvhak. So the Marsha who writes commentaries, keep in mind the Marsha lived almost at the time of the Ramah. He was almost let's say 50 years later. He was almost the contemporary of the Ramah, and he writes Yiraya. It seems to me, the chol talmid chacham yachol limchol, when the halacha gives license to the kohen gadol to be mochel on his kavod, he says rak al kvodo, he can waive his kavod. Avol elo lo havi laharshos, he doesn't have the rishus lezalzel atzmo. Now listen to this very subtle but fundamental distinction that the Marsha is saying. It's one thing to say you don't have to give me kavod. It's another thing to say that you could be mavazim, you could do something that humiliates, disgraces me. So the Marsha wants to say that that's the meaning, the thrust of what the Ramah added here to the Shulchan Aruch when he said v'yosel v'azoso. When it comes to bizayon, a kind of a zilzul, here the Talmud Chacham has no rights to be mochel. It's not his baby, so to speak. He doesn't possess the ability, well, again, as far as COVID is concerned, you say, you don't have to give me COVID, don't stand up for me, and you don't have to, bow down to me, that I can do away with. But to be mezalzel in his COVID, to do something that would undermine his COVID, that he's not allowed to do. Now, of course, that opens up a whole Pandora's box. When is it, when does it cross the bounds between the absence of kavod and the positive zilzul, at one point. Like, for example, we discussed before the case of HaShavas HaVeda where he's carrying an animal on his back in the public marketplace. Is that a zilzul or is that just the lack of kavod? Very unclear where the lines of demarcation are. However, he says the following. Hare, what we see from this, he quotes a Truma Zadesh, he says, Eino yachol laharshos lezalzel atzma. He cannot give permission to others to disgrace him. Now, let's go back to Rashi. Rashi says that if a Kohen Gadol would show up in Bezdin on his own initiative, according to this Abba Amina, then Rashi says he would be mezalzel in his kavod. You'll see that Rashi on the right column on the bottom. Mm-hmm. So it comes out that how would you classify the case of a Kohen Gadol who shows up in Beis Din? Is it A or B? Is it A, the lack of kavod, or is it B, a zilzal, it's disgracing him? If you read Rashi carefully, it says lo lizalzel, he shouldn't be mizalzel and come into Beis Din. So how did Rashi define a Kohen Gadol in Beis Din when he's on trial?
Humiliation.
It's humiliation. It's that negative. You follow? It's not the absence of the positive kavod, but it's much worse than that. It's actually a zilzal. Can you help me here in other language? How do you say zilzal in Dutch or maybe in Spanish? Can you help in Afrikaans? I don't know.
Disgrace.
A disgrace? Humiliation? Is that's the Spanish word? Okay. Yo aprendo en la escuela dos años, but they never taught me humiliation in Spanish. I thought that was an English word. Okay. So Rashi identifies the Kohen Gadol being in Beis Din on trial as a disgrace, as a humiliation to his covenant. Is Mimela, since the Marsha in interpreting Ramah says that although a Kohen could be mochel on his kavod, right, the Marsha is not talking about a Kohen, he's talking about what? A Talmud Chacham, and he says that a Talmud Chacham could be mochel on his kavod, but he can't allow himself to be disgraced, on that he has no control, he has no ownership, it's not his business, it would be a disgrace for the Torah that he represents, and that he's not allowed to do, that's outside of the purview of his violence, of his control. So we can apply the same thing in the case of a Kohen Gadol. That a Kohen Gadol cannot be mezalzel on his kavod. He cannot decide on his own initiative to show up in Beis Din. Why? Because that would be more than just the absence of kavod, which he could be mochel on, it would already constitute what? Zilzel. Wow. I mean, this really changes everything that we saw before. Based on the Chasdei David, we wanted to come to the conclusion that just like a Rebbe Muvah could be mochel on his kavod, how much more so a Kohen Gadol could be mochel on his kavod. So if he wants to show up in Beis Din, let him show up. But now that we open up Yoredeya, and it says with regard to Rabbi Muvok that although he can be mochel on his kavod, but he cannot be mezalzel on his kavod, if we apply that to the case of the Kohen Gadol, then let's plug in this Rashi, and Rashi says that for the Kohen Gadol to show up in Beis Din, that would be a zilzel, not just the absence of kavod. He's mevela, he doesn't have the rishus to do that, according to this whole logical structure. Vehine b'gemara amrinon that ilo dainin le is iu hechi dayan vaksiv is koshu koshu or meshlokish kashod asko yitzah. So he said that if he cannot be judged, then he cannot judge others. Vehine b'diyachol limchol amezel bezdin. If we would say that he could decide on his own that he wants to be mochel on his kavod and show up in Beis Din, if we would have said such a thing, then Havilon Lememar de Shapim Mikri his kosher shuva kosher. He can be judged, and therefore he can judge others. Ulam Yeshlom de Afagav Shiyachol Limchol al Kvodo Lovle Beis Din. He came and said, Anu Enom Yecholim Laduno Sobal Karcho is Chasim is kosher shuva kosher. Did anybody follow that one? Okay, let me try to explain what I think he's saying. We said that if an individual cannot be judged, then he cannot judge others. What about the following scenario? Here's where we vacillate. If he can be judged, but it all depends on his will, his consent to be judged based on his own initiative, but we cannot force him and compel him to be judged. is that considered his koshashu, and therefore is that considered like kshod atzmecha, and therefore he can be koshed acherim, he can judge others? So we say no. Since he cannot be forced and compelled to be judged by, you know, by others who want to judge him, therefore he cannot judge. He cannot judge others. Okay. Now we're up to a paragraph that starts Elo Dainan Le. And do you remember that we've quoted in the past the Tumim? I'm not going to test you and ask you what the Tumim said or even what his name was. But his name was Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz. Okay, he wrote the Tumim. The Tumim is a magnum opus and perhaps the first primary source in the Achronim on Shulchan Aruch Hoshev Mishpat. And he writes the following. At what point can we judge a child and punish the child? Again, in secular law, I think it's usually around the age of 17, 18, I don't know, 21 even, I don't know. Every country is a little different.
18 in most countries, I think.
Yeah? What is it in Holland?
I think 18.
18. In the United States, I think also it's 18, if I'm not mistaken.
They have juvenile courts.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where?
In the United States, juvenile courts for teenagers.
Ah, but that's not punishment. I think the juvenile courts maybe is for what they call something school. What's it called? Do you know what I'm talking about? There are schools for juveniles that they're... they're meant to gradually bring him back to society. No, I'm looking for a... In any event, whatever the age is, what's the age in halacha?
13.
Mm-hmm. A 13-year-old could be judged. However, there's a proviso. He has to have what's called shanin visimanin. In other words, not only the age is the factor, but also his biological maturity. So he has to have what's called shtei saros. Now, in a case of a katan who's ben yud gimel, he already had his 13th birthday, but lo hevi shtei saros. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that he's already kosher ladun acherim. He can sit on a court as a judge when he hits. And he celebrates his 13th birthday. Does he have saris? Doesn't have saris. Can we judge him? No. He can only be judged and condemned and punished if he has both shanim and simanim. Does anybody now have a question to ask? I mean, now you can anticipate the question of the tumim.
We have a matzav.
What?
It doesn't work. It doesn't parallel our case.
Because again, what's the rule? In order to be able to judge others, you have to be able to be judged. Kshon atzmecho, kshon acherim. He can judge others because he has shanu, but he cannot be judged by others. And if he can't be judged by others, how can he judge others? That's a beautiful kasha of the tumim. Vinira. So the Tumim doesn't offer an answer. The Gevurah Sitzan wants to offer an answer. Delo shayach is koshishu v'koshu rak im ta'un sheyidonu oso u'mikovakom ein donim oso havel katan eino ta'un sheyidonu oso delo havi bar on shevikeven di eino ta'un sheyidonu oso lo tzarech Likshod Atzma. He says the following. When we say that someone can't stand on trial, we can understand that in one of two ways. One way is that ta'un means he deserves to be tried. But for whatever reason, he cannot be tried. Like, for example, the Melech. The Melech also deserves to be tried. But we cannot try him. Therefore, he cannot try others. However, we have a category of someone who cannot be judged, cannot be tried in a court, because he's eno toon sheyadunu oso, meaning he's not mature enough or responsible enough so that we can try him and condemn him. He's not included in the entire enterprise of onshim, of punishments. In such a case, we don't apply the principle of kshot atzmach oviyachka kshot achirim. There's no kshot atzmach oviyah. He himself cannot be held responsible for his actions. In that case, if he has enough of a maturity level, which again at the age of 13 he has, he can judge others.
So katan can never even enter the category, and a melech can, but we don't do it.
Right, a katan as far as onshim is totally excluded. He's not a bar onshim, meaning he's not mature enough or responsible enough that he can be punished. That's not the case of the melech. The melech, because of his stature and his status as a melech, and he represents malchus and kingship, therefore he cannot be judged. If you cannot be judged, you can't judge others. But if you cannot be judged because you don't deserve to be judged, you're not mature enough, you're eno toon sheyaduno oso acherim, that's the case of a katan, then that's not considered kshod atzmach.
If somebody isn't mature enough to be judged, why is he mature enough to judge? I mean, it just doesn't seem...
Because to judge, you need a certain maturity that is academic, so to speak. It's intellectual. It's a matter of knowing the laws, being able to interrogate the witnesses, and that he has by the maturity of age. However, the halacha doesn't view him as a gadol because he's lacking siman, and therefore he cannot be punished. Alright, let's go on. This next piece that I want to learn with you is what I call Masechta Makis. I don't know if you ever learned Masechta Makis. This is the overlap that we're learning between Masechta Makis and Masechta Sanhedrin. There's a Mishnah in the second parak of Makis that says the following. There are two individuals mentioned in the Mishnah who, once they go into the Ir Miklat, they can never get out of the Ir Miklat. They're there for life. Number one, it's a case of a Kohen Gadol who murdered somebody. Again, keep in mind, we're talking about unintentional, right? Shogeg. And number two, we're talking about someone who unintentionally murdered the Kohen Gadol. In both these cases, there is no Kohen Gadol whose death would free the Rotzeach B'Shogeg. Is that clear? Why? Because in case number one, the Kohen Gadol himself committed murder, he's no longer the Kohen Gadol. So there's no Kohen Gadol at the time of the murder. And in the second case, somebody killed the Kohen Gadol, so there's no Kohen Gadol at the time of the murder. Yesh la'ayin. Let's think about the following scenario. Nigmar dino below Kohen Gadol. We're talking about Reuven who killed Shimon, Bishogeg. There's no Kohen Gadol here or anything. Meaning, two ordinary citizens were involved in this situation. But at the time of the judgment, because every Rotzeach Bishogeg has to be judged and condemned to go to the Ir Miklat, there was no Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol had died. On his own, he died a natural death. He hadn't been replaced. In Gamkein, if we would say the same thing, then maybe he should not go into Golos. Why? Because at the time of the Gemar Din, there was no Kohen Gadol, and therefore there's no Kohen Gadol whose death would free him and he'd be spending his entire life. The Gemara now presents a possibility that in a case where you'd have to live your entire life in Golos, you don't have to go into Golos. So in this case, where at the time of the Gemara Din, there was no Kohen Gadol in the position, the position was vacant because the Kohen Gadol had died and they hadn't replaced him yet. Therefore, he's going to go into Golos and spend the entire balance of his life in the Ir Miklat. Ach, mi kevan di alfina mikro lanu shama kol rotzeach. The Gemara at the end of the day is going to have a drasha. Kol rotzeh, the extra word kol is coming to include even someone who will be sent into goals for the entire balance of his life. And afilu kohen gadol, if he killed, he is gola. Is then yalfida minei. Here we're going to turn to the other side of your page, that the same law should apply if there's no kohen gadol at all. Oh, well, perhaps shiny kohen gadol shaharag she'ein lo takana b'chazora aval nigmar dina v'lo kohen gadol d'v'shas hariga ha'ein lo takana b'chazora ilu lo yomas ha'kohen gadol kohen gmar din pshita le degola. When a person committed murder, again, one person who murdered another individual, there was a kohen gadol. The kohen gadol died between time T1, that's the time of the Ritzich, and time T2, the Gemara Din. In the interim, he died. There was no replacement appointed at the time of the Gemara Din. Here, since he had a Kohen who theoretically would have sent him out of the Yermikla, why in this case doesn't the Rotzeach stay home, if you follow what I mean? Why does he have to go to the Yermikla? I mean, after all, the Kohen Gadol died, so shouldn't he go to the Yermiklot?
Well, there was one when he... Theoretically, he has one.
There was a Kohen Gadol at the time of the Ritzicha. The Kohen Gadol died. So why doesn't he go home?
That's not the... You go to the Yermiklot because you killed the Shogeg.
Right.
The fact that the Kohen Gadol part of the equation is only after the fact.
Again, I'm not talking to you about Kohen Gadol now, so don't confuse me, Alan.
Right.
I'm talking about Reuven who killed Shimon. No Kohen Gadol.
He's not half. Right.
There's a Kohen Gadol at the time of the Ritzicha, but the Kohen Gadol died after the Ritzicha. At the time of the Gemar Din, there was no replacement yet.
He's not half to go to the Miklat until the Gzal Din.
Excellent. That's the answer I was looking for. The Chiyuv of Golos emerges with the Gemar Din, not with the Ritzicha. So therefore, since at the time of the Gemara Din there was no Kohen Gadol in service, he will not go free with the death of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol died a little bit prematurely. Had he lived until the Gemara Din and then died, then this Rotzeach would be free. But since he died before the Gemara Din, there was no Kohen Gadol at the time of the Gemara Din, therefore he doesn't go free. Now, he quotes a Tosfos in the next paragraph. And Tosfos says that if they would have replaced the Kohen Gadol before the Gemar Din, so what happened was there were two Kohen Gadolim, we'll call them A and B. A was alive at the time of the Ritzicha, but he died after the Ritzicha. B was appointed before the Gemar Din. In such a case, Tosfos says, Yotze b'misas hasheni. Since this second Kohen Gadol, the replacement Kohen Gadol, was in the position at the time of the Gemar Din, therefore his death will free the Rotzeach from the Yermiklot. So it's very interesting because the death of the second Kohen Gadol, that Kohen Gadol was not a Kohen Gadol at the time of the Ritzicha. But Tosfos says that's irrelevant. As long as he was a Kohen Gadol at the time of the Gemar Din, everything hinges on the time of the Gemar Din, and therefore that's the Kohen Gadol whose death will free the Rotzeach. So Tosfos, Lefi Dvarov, Kohen Gadol Shaharag, Efsha Lo Takanasa, Bechazara, Bishas Hariga im Yimnu im Yimanu Kohen Gadol Acher. He says, I don't understand. According to Tosfos, let's say the Kohen Gadol committed this act of unintentional murder, and the Gemara says that he cannot go out of Golos for the rest of his life. Why is that so? Maybe they'll appoint a Kohen Gadol Acher, a replacement, before his Gemara Din. Because Tosfos says that the key of keys is the Kohen Gadol at the time of the Gemara Din. He says, and yet the Gemara has a half-meaning that in this case, he doesn't go into goals because he'll never get out. What does that mean he won't get out? Maybe he'll get out if there's a replacement Kohen Gadol at the time the Gemara did. If Kain Hua did Nigmar Dino below Kohen Gadol, Salka Daitok She'enu Gola. In a case where there was no Kohen Gadol appointed at the time of the Gemara Din, then we would have the same Hava meaning that he shouldn't go into Golas because this person will spend his entire life into Golas. So basically the logic is the following. Everything depends upon the Gemara Din. If there is a Kohen Gadol at the time of the Gemara Din, then the Rotzeach will go free with the Misa of that Kohen Gadol. In a case where the Kohen Gadol died after the Ritzicha and he was not replaced at the moment of the Gemara Din, then the Rotzeach will have to spend the entire all the years of his life in the Ir Miklat. Okay. Now I want to share with you a question of the Ran. This you'll see in the next paragraph, Dibur HaMaskil Delesle. Don't look at the bottom of the page, but in the middle of that column. Haran Hiksha Hechsal Kedak Delo Ligli. How could the Gemara say that there's a Habamina here that he would not go into Golis because he can't go free with the Misa of Kohen Gadol? He's going to have to spend his entire life in the Yom Miklat. Hamas Nisan Makis, we can derive the opposite conclusion for the Mishnah in Makis. Disnan, the Mishnah says about the cases of somebody who killed a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Gadol who killed, and Yotze Misham Li'olam, that he will remain in the Yom Miklat for the entire balance of his life. Mufuar, it's clear from this Mishnah, the Gola. So how can the Gemara entertain a possibility that if a person will not be able to be freed and he'll have to spend his entire life, he doesn't go into Golos? So the Ran gives a very strange answer. He says the following: Salka Daita de Bezdin Lo Yifsiku Olav Chiyuv Golos. When the Mishnah says Ein Yotze Misham Li Olav, it's not telling you that Bezdin will force him to go into the Ir Miklat. He has to pack his bags and live in the Ir Miklat for the rest of his life. No. What it means is that Bezdin is not going to force him to go, obligate him to go into the Ir Miklat. But rather, he's going to go into the Ir Miklat on his own initiative. What would motivate a person who's not obligated to be Gola to go into the Ir Miklat? I mean, maybe there's, you know, maybe the Ir Miklat has some very nice, maybe the real estate is cheap in the Ir Miklat. You know, you can get an apartment in Katamon, very cheap, you know what I'm saying?
But to protect himself from that revenge.
Excellent. Yeah, beautiful. Chaim says that there are two dimensions to the Ir Miklat. The Ir Miklat, number one, is a chiyuv, a punishment, because you did what you did. The Ir Miklat also serves a salvation. A safe haven. Excellent. Safe haven. I love it. Safe haven because of the Gol Adam. Meaning the Gol Adam is able to kill him if he catches him outside the Ir Miklat. Therefore, he says, Afilu Kodem Shebezdin Poskim Legalos Al Horig Bishogay. He says that even though Bezdin is not capable in this case of Paskening, he has to go into Golos. Because again, in our Habamina, we think that we don't send someone to Golos if he's going to have to spend his whole life in Golos. But nevertheless, Ir Miklat called him. There's a halacha called Klita. Right? This has nothing to do with the, the Aliyah here to a, what's it called? The
Mesorakita.
Yeah, to an absorption center. That's not necessarily a salvation. But anyway, here, the power and the status of the Ir Miklat in Halacha is such that it's kolate. It's kolate means it affords protection to a rotzeach migol adam. The salka daita to hu adin, kohen gadol shaharag, afal pisha eno bichlal apsak din shel golus. In other words, we're not going to force him to go into golus because we have compassion on a person who will have to spend the entire balance of his life in the Ir Miklat. But mikolakom, ilu barach li'ir Miklat, if he would, a fugitive who runs the Ir Miklat on his own initiative, ha'ir Miklat kol toso, me'agol adam, shumhochi edi yotze li'oma. So the Eniyotzim Liolav is a good recommendation for him, because what happens if he steps out of the bounds of the Yermichlod? He'll be killed by the Golanah. He would be well advised by all of his counsel and his good friends to spend the rest of his life in the Yermichla. But as far as the Mishnah is concerned, Eniyotzi Misham Liolam, if he leaves the bounds of the Yermichlod, he can be killed by the Golanah. We can't obligate him to go into the Yermichlod because we have compassion on him. We cannot force him to go into the Yermichlod because he'll have to spend his entire life in the Yermichlod. Ulam, however, in contrast to the Ran, Hatosus Arosh tirates the Masinu LaUkma Hechada Hargo Beir Miklot. This is a fascinating case where a person committed murder unintentionally in the Ir Miklot itself. Hasam Amrinon Eyotzi Misham Liolam. But if he killed someone chutz li'ir miklot lo ligli. So again, on the one hand, the Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol is going to spend his entire life in the Ir Miklot. On the other hand, the Gemara has a Havamina that in such a case he doesn't have to go into Golus. So the Rosh says the following. It all depends. Where did this murder take place? If the murder took place in the Ir Miklot, then Eniyotzi Misham Liolam. But if the murder took place outside of the Ir Miklot, then we're not going to send him to the Ir Miklot. Again, I don't know what his status is going to be vis-a-vis the Gol Adam. If he's not going to the Ir Miklot, he's probably going to have to spend his entire life hiring private detectives, you know, to protect himself. V'hinei mihadlo tiritz karan. Why didn't the Rosh accept the answer of the Ran? The Ran had a good answer. The Ari Shebarach L'Sham, meaning he on his own initiative ran into the Ir Miklot to protect himself. Mashman desfirle. The ilu harak chutz le'ir miklato, afilu barach. Even if he runs on his own initiative to the Ir Miklato, because again, if the murder took place outside the Ir Miklato, we cannot force him to go into Golus. But he went into Golus on his own initiative. Lo hayakolein also. The Ir Miklot would not protect him. In other words, the Rosh understands that there are two dimensions to the power and the status of the Ir Miklot, or the function of the Ir Miklot. Number one, it's a punishment. Number two, it's a protection. But the Rosh understood that those two functions are interdependent, what we call in Gemara's language, Haba Hatali, which means the following. When we send them into Golus, then the Ir Miklot is Kolet. If we don't send them into Golus, there's no such thing as his running into the Ir Miklot on his own initiative for the purpose of protection. The Ir Miklot is only kolet, meaning protecting him, if Bezdin sends him into the Ir Miklot. V'tzorech iyud imkein amayim harg betoch Ir Miklot yachol din klita. Why is it that if he kills inside the Ir Miklot, then the Ir Miklot will function to be kolet, because we would never send him into the Ir Miklot. Maishna harag betoch Ir Miklot mihorik chutz li'ir miklot ubarach li'ir miklot. What difference does it make whether he killed in the Ir Miklot or he killed outside the Ir Miklot and he ran into the Ir Miklot? If you're telling me that since he killed outside of the Ir Miklot, we don't send him into the Ir Miklot, therefore the Ir Miklot doesn't even have the power to protect him if he runs there on his own initiative, then the case where he killed inside the Ir Miklot, then the same law should apply, that the Ir Miklot is not collate him, because we wouldn't have sent him into the Ir Miklot. But I think in my own, you know, what we call the fiat ius deity, in the poverty of my mind, I think that in the case where he killed in the Ir Miklot, according to the Rosh, he is chai of golos. Now, the only question is why? I mean, why should that be so? What difference does it make where he killed the guy, whether he killed him outside the Ir Miklot or he killed him in the Ir Miklot? But the answer is that I think it's all a question of the compassion of Beis Din. In other words, if he killed outside the Ir Miklot, Beis Din should be more compassionate before they send him into the Ir Miklot. If he's already in the Ir Miklot and he's there, then we can say we don't have to send him into the Ir Miklot. But the Gvur Yitzchak understands if we don't send him into the Amiklat, why is the Amiklat kolei him? You know, it's why it isn't protected.
If I understand correctly, you're saying if he's already there, he's like a short boat. He should have known better, or should be extra careful, or is that what you're trying to say?
I think he's saying that Bezdin doesn't have to send him there because he's already there. Okay, now we're going to study the Ran. The Ran asks the following question. How could it possibly entertain, the Gemara entertain the possibility that if the Kohen Gadol killed someone, that he doesn't go into Golus? When the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, in Marcus, excuse me, says explicitly that if a Kohen Gadol kills someone and he yotze misham li'olam, obviously he goes into Golus. So the Ran says, this you'll see on the top left column, the Halchikomer. In Yotze Misham Li'olam, when the Mishnah says he doesn't leave the Miklat, that's a case of Barach Shabbi Atzma. He went there on his own initiative to protect himself from the Gol Adam. And he's going to have to remain within the bounds of the Ir Miklat until the very day of his death. Otherwise, the Gol Adam is going to find him outside the Ir Miklat and kill him. That we, Bezdin, will not force him and compel him to go into Golos. Kamash Malon, and now we need the Pasuk of Kol to teach me that Bishoge Gola, that the Kohen Gadol goes into Golos despite the fact that he'll never get out of there. So we see clearly from the Ran that even before the Gemar Din, in a situation where the Rotzeach runs to the Amiklat on his own initiative, is Eino Yotze Misham Li'olam. Why? Because again, as we said before, he'll expose himself to the danger of the Gol Adam. V'arei v'chlal ma'idistan b'mishnah v'eino yotze lo le'edus mitzvah, etc., etc. The Mishnah says he doesn't go out at all from the Amiklat. Now, what I'd like you to do is turn to the next page. I gave you two pages. The next page should say Reish Samach Aleph, correct? Okay. So you'll see here where it says on the left column, Daf Yud Chesam and Beis, that in these cases of number one, someone who murders the Kohen Gadol, number two, a Kohen Gadol who murders, then any yotze misham liol mehine im loya kohen gadol b'shas ritzicha, correct, because you killed the kohen gadol or the kohen gadol killed and therefore he's no longer a kohen gadol umaru oso kodem gemar din, but they replaced the kohen gadol before the gemar din. So Tosus holds that in that case, we discussed it earlier, he will go free with the Misa of the replacement Kohen Gadol, because that Kohen Gadol was appointed at the time of the Gemar Din. He says, Nechleku Rishonim im Choser b'Misas Kohen Gadol. We're talking about the second Kohen Gadol, right? The replacement Kohen Gadol. Now the Mishnah says, Ha'hori Kohen Gadol v'Kohen Gadol Shahari Gani Yotzi Misham Li'olam. Tosfos holds, that's a case where they weren't successful in replacing the Kohen Gadol before the Gemara did. Maybe they didn't have a unity government, I don't know what it is. But anyway, they didn't successfully get some sort of an agreement, a consensus, to reappoint a second replacement Kohen Gadol. Aval Kol Sheminu Kohen Gadol, if they were able to laspik, how do you say, to manage, if they managed to replace the Kohen Gadol before the Gemar Din, then Choser, then with the death of that replacement Kohen Gadol, the Rotzeach will be freed. Afal Gav, the Lohoya Kohen Gadol HaMechaper B'Shas Ritzicha. That's an interesting statement. Right, the death of the Kohen Gadol is meant to be a kapara for the Rotzeach. Now, the kapara is for the act of Ritzicha. There was no Kohen Gadol at the time of the Ritzicha. But Tosfos says it doesn't matter, as long as there was a Kohen Gadol at the time the Gemara did. So all the kapara powers of the Kohen Gadol with his death are all tied to the Shas Gemara did, not to the Shas Ritzicha. That's the opinion of Tosfos. The Ritva disagrees. He says, "In Cain, Hainu Reisha, the Nigmar Dina below Kohen Gadol." Why did the Mishnah have to repeat the case of a Kohen Gadol who killed someone, or somebody killed a Kohen Gadol? The Reisha says that if at the time the Gemara did there was no Kohen Gadol, then he doesn't go free. Liola. Lachain Pirish, that's where the Ritva disagrees with Tosfos. And he says, Afilu Hoya Kohen Gadol Mishenigmar Dino Mikomo Kohen Chozer. That second replacement Kohen Gadol will not be Chozer. In other words, his death will not free the Rotzeach. Kevon Delo Hoya Kohen Gadol HaMechaper B'Shas Ritzicha. So the Ritva puts all his emphasis on what moment in time?
When the act was done.
The act of murder. The Tosis puts all the emphasis on which moment of time?
Shazazin.
The Gzardin. The Kohen Gadol Shaharag or Shenerag Lo Choshev Kohen HaMechaper. If the Kohen Gadol himself was murdered, or he murdered someone, there's no Kohen Gadol HaMechaper B'Shas Ritzicha. And therefore Einu Chozer, even though they replaced the Kohen Gadol with a second Kohen Gadol at the time of the Gemara Din. Everything depends upon the Kapara that relates to the act of Ritzicha for which he's Chayiv Golos. V'hu Adin, if lo hoya Kohen Gadol klal b'shas Ritzicha. Let's say, you know, the Kohen Gadol had died, they didn't replace him yet, and a murder took place. In such a case, Einu Gola. He doesn't go into Golos. Why? Based on this logic that he won't be able to go free. Why? Because according to the Ritva, everything depends upon the Shas Ritzicha. There was no Kohen Gadol at the moment of Ritzicha. Even if they appointed a Kohen Gadol before the Gemara Din, that's not enough. You need the Kohen Gadol on the Chaper B'Shas Ritzicha, according to the Ritva Shita. So it comes out that we have a fundamental machlokas here between Tosis and the Ritva. What is the critical moment, the turning point, that sets the Kohen Gadol ha Mechaper into, you know, sets it in stone, so to speak, engraves it in stone? Is it the Kohen Gadol HaMechaper B'Shas Ritzicha, or is it the Kohen Gadol HaMechaper B'Shas Gemar Din? So one thing you see from this whole sugya, the Gemar Din is not just the technicality. You know, it's not just the Gemar Din is a process by which we weigh the evidence and determine the nature of this Ritzicha, but that Gemar Din is an active, plays an active role in establishing the Chiyuv Golos. The Chiyuv Golos is created by the decision, the verdict of Beis Din. And that's why Tosfos holds that that's the moment that requires a Kohen HaMechaper. And if there's a Kohen HaMechaper who was appointed before the Gemara Din, then that the death of that Kohen Gadol will be sufficient to set free. Whereas the Ritva says no. The Gemara Din is only playing a secondary role. It's just clarifying and determining whether or not he is a Rotzeach B'Shogeg and he has to go into Golos. But everything really adheres in what, according to the Ritva? In the Ritzicha itself. If there was a Kohen Gadol at the time of the Ritzicha, then and only then is the Kohen Gadol a Mechaper. That means his death will generate a Kapara on behalf of the Rotzeach. But if he was, according to the Ritva, he was the Kohen Gadol, not at the time of the Ritzicha, but at the time of the Gemara Din, his death will not free the Rotzeach from the Irmit. One more point, and then we'll be able to daven Mayim. There's a Tosis in Masechta Yuma that asks the following question. It says in the Mishnah in Markus that Ahori Kohen Gadol Shal Geni Yotzim Yisham Liolam. What about a Mashuach? Now there's two cases of a Mashuach. One case is a Mashuach Sha'avar, meaning he was the Kohen Gadol, but he was replaced. And then there's a case of Mashuach Molchama. That's the Kohen Gadol that announces at the time that they're going out to battle all the categories of people who will be Chozer Mimarachas, so they will not go out to battle. So Tosfos wants to know, why does the Mishnah assume, by definition, that in these cases he'll never go free because there's no Kohen Gadol? What about the other Kohanim Gedolim? Why wasn't that considered by the Mishnah? The Tirtzu Tosfos answers, the Kohen Gadol Ikar. That when the Torah says that the Rotzeach B'Shogeg goes free with the Misan Kohen Gadol. Which Kohen Gadol? It's the Iker Kohen Gadol, the main Kohen Gadol. The came unto who Kohen Gadol v'shosha harag? Lo chozer v'misas hani. He will not go free with the death of the other Kohenim who are not the primary Kohen Gadol. And not only that, says Tosfos, if they replace the Kohen Gadol with another Kohen Gadol, then he doesn't go free with the other Kohen Gadol. V'hadik tani machzirin harotzeach haynu kagon shlo hoya Kohen Gadol v'shosha harag. Interesting. According to this Tosfos, if there was no Kohen Gadol at the time of the Ritzicha, but they appointed a Kohen Gadol by the time of the Gemar Din, then the Rotzeach goes free with the Kohen Gadol's death, even though that Kohen Gadol was not there at the time of the Ritzicha. Again, this seems to be Tosfos in, how shall I say, consistent, that the critical moment that engraves the Kohen Gadol in stone, so to speak, for his Misa to be Mechaper, is the moment of what? Of the Gemar Din, the sentencing. All right, Rabosai, we'll stop here. I wish everyone a buenas noches. You know, you should all have a good night, and hopefully, right? Hopefully, we'll see you next week on Wednesday next week. And thank you again for coming. If everyone can just sign their name on this page over here, Chaim, if you don't mind, even it's not a signature. It's not. I call it
a document.
It's not an official document. Thank you.